Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Lake Link, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and I'm here once again with Jeff Kelm. Jeff, well, did you enjoy summer that we had earlier in the week?
Got a chance to break the shorts out one last time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they're going to be put away now for the rest of the year.
I think it's fall now, finally. Yeah. So you getting ready for deer?
Oh, of course. I'm always thinking about it, texting my buddies back and forth almost every day, counting down the days.
Good.
So, yeah,
good.
Getting ready.
Well, we got a report from Keith Warnke at the DNR about deer license sales. Now, this is probably inflated slightly because of the October antlerless hunt.
Sure.
But compared to last year at this time, 50,000 more licenses have been sold.
Okay, yeah, and we've kind of talked about that off the air. We were just talking about it probably has something to do with the October hunt, but it may be that there's just going to be more guides out there.
Maybe more hunters, maybe more people need some wild food, and they want to get some fast food with four legs.
That's right. This week's show is going to be a good one. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, we certainly do. We're going to talk with John Young. He's the author of a book called Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature. I met him at the Outdoor Writers Conference in Bismarck, North Dakota, and he's got some really exciting things to say about getting kids into the outdoors. We're also going to talk with Jim O'Brien, who's a pro staffer for Jiffy. Speaking of fall, winter can't be too far behind.
That's right, ice fishing.
He's going to give us a few tips on what we can do to get ready for ice fishing, early ice especially. And we'll talk with Zach Jurowitz of Anglers All up in Ashland and get a fishing report on Shawamigan Bay and just see how things are going there.
They don't have ice yet there, do they?
We'll ask them.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so, no. And we'll also talk with Ron Bice, who is with Wildlife Research Center, and he's going to give us some tips on scent control. And, in fact, speaking of scent control, we have a giveaway this week, a $50 package from Wildlife Research Center. And to enter the drawing for that, you need to call this number, 414-297-7554. I'll do it again, 414-297-7554. And leave your name and phone number and say that you want to enter the drawing for the $50 package from Wildlife Research Center. They make Scent Killer, they make Special Golden Estrus, and a lot of other products to help deer hunters. In fact, I've used it, and I know you're going to be using it this year.
Yeah, exactly. I cannot wait. It seems like it's going to be a great year with those products.
Yeah, and you know, we heard about a big buck who was just shot.
Buffalo County, of course, we all know about the Field and Stream buck that we heard about earlier in the year before bow hunting even started, and reportedly, it's been harvested.
It was last Saturday, wasn't it?
It was. The gentleman's name is Bob Decker from Eau Claire. He believes he shot the buck. It was in the local newspaper there with a picture of him, and it's a big buck. If this isn't that buck, it may be from the same strain or so.
It's his twin brother. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a big deer. So we'll find out more about that and find out if it is really the Field and Stream buck.
I'm sure it'll be splashed all over the internet, and probably you'll learn about it on Lake Link and other places. And we're going to break right now, but this first portion of our show is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club and by Midwestern Shooters Supply, two of our great sponsors. We'll be right back after this. Boost the odds of bagging your buck by using Special Golden Estrus from Wildlife Research Center.
Special Golden Estrus is so fresh and so effective, it's 100% money-back guaranteed.
That's right, Jeff, and Special Golden Estrus is so fresh that 2008 is printed right on the package.
Special Golden Estrus, the smell your buck has been waiting for.
Give your trophy buck the smell he's been waiting for. Special Golden Estrus. Find a retailer near you on the web at wildlife.com.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
I'd like to see you out in the moonlight. I'd like to kiss you way back in the...
Well, now it's time for a deer hunting report brought to you by the Wildlife Research Center on the web at wildlife.com. And Jeff, a good friend of mine, Ron Bice from Wildlife Research Center, has been spending some time in Wisconsin. I think we've got him on his mobile here. Ron, are you there?
I am, Dan.
Okay, and you're bow hunting somewhere. Can you tell us where without pinning it down?
I can tell you the county.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you any more than that. I'm hunting in Buffalo County.
Oh, good choice.
You know, that there was that potential world record typical deer spotted there earlier this year, so Buffalo County might not be a bad place to be.
If that deer's still alive. Did you see that video that went around?
I did. I think an awful lot of people did as well, and I think that there were people driving up and down the roads all over Buffalo County looking for that thing, and it became quite a spectacle.
Well, if you get him, we want to know. And we want a picture, and we'll put it on our newsletter.
Well, I'll make sure you're the first to know.
Okay. Well, you don't have to be first, but we want the picture.
Sure.
Well, listen, Ron, as communications director for Wildlife Research Center, you talk a lot about scent elimination and the importance of controlling your scent when you're hunting, whether it's bow hunting or rifle hunting or shotgun hunting, for that matter. What are some things to consider?
Well, I think first and foremost, just a realistic understanding of scent elimination, Dan. You know, I kind of compare a smoke detector in your home to a big game animal's nose. You know, a smoke detector in your house is constantly detecting smoke molecules, whether it be coming from the fireplace, the wood-burning stove, or somebody's in the kitchen. And it's constantly encountering smoke molecules, but until it gets a full burst of smoke molecules, it's basically just idle and it's just doing what it's supposed to do. And a big game animal's nose is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these deer are constantly encountering predators, whether it be coyotes or bears. In fact, weird as it may seem, their neighboring property to where I'm hunting right now just got some bears on the trail cameras, which kind of surprised me. But they are they're constantly encountering these predators and are maintaining safe distance through their sense of so you're when a big game animal comes across a full burst of hunter scent, he's going to relocate. He's going to maintain safe distance based on his sense of smell. So taking steps to eliminate as much of that human scent as possible before your hunt, as well as during your hunt, is basically going to give that animal a false sense of security, knowing that it's or feeling that it's further away from you than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good way to break it down to the point where people can understand it. Now, I'm a firm believer, I think most people are, that you can't get 100% scent-free. But, you know, that being said, Wildlife Research Center, in my opinion, makes the best products to accomplish that. But I surely can reduce my human scent to such minimal levels by taking steps prior to those hunts to give that animal a false sense of security. I'm going to get a lot closer to these animals. I'm going to be able to have more opportunities, higher quality shots, closer shots, and higher quality harvest in the grand finale.
So I guess you were talking about preparing before the hunt. So that's something I think some people don't realize, that it's not just get out of your truck, spray yourself down, and you're ready to go. What point would you say it starts as far as scent elimination?
Well, it starts, you know, washing all your clothes, making sure that all your clothes have been completely washed in scent killer laundry soaps, making sure once they're completely dry you put them in a scent-free place. I use some Rubbermaid tubs. So I don't get any scent transfer onto those clothes. Prior to that, or prior to my actual departure from my hunt, I'm going to take a shower, making sure that I've completely eliminated as much human scent as possible. I utilize scent killer body wash. And actually, when I'm traveling to my location, the clothes that I'm actually traveling in after I've washed my body have also been washed in scent killer soaps. And by doing so, I'm not putting, you know, clothing on that is going to have some type of smell or scent to my body. Once I get to the location, I change out of those clothes, I put the fresh clothes on, I'll spray my boots down and my outer camouflage and that type of thing with scent killer spray, and by doing so, I'm really doing everything I can do to combat being detected by that game animal for as long as period of time.
Now, one of the things I wonder about is, you know, I have the convenience of running water at my deer camp. Other guys don't always have that convenience, so you're out in the woods for 3 or 4 days. What are some of the things you can look for, some of the things that you can do when you don't have the chance to take a shower and get rid of the scent that way?
Yeah. Well, one thing, obviously, Wildlife Research Center has an antiperspirant or a, you know, a deodorant. But, you know, one thing that you can do, Jeff, is you can, after you've washed your outer camo in scent killer clothing wash and they're completely dry, you can actually spray that, saturate it with scent killer spray to the point where you've covered every square inch of clothing or material on those, on that camouflage or your, even your blaze orange that you're going to wear. What you're doing there, and the active ingredient in scent killer, for example, lasts for days even after it dries. And in kind of use this scenario, it's kind of like if you're seining minnows with a minnow net, and the minnow net is larger, the holes in the net are larger than the minnows that you're actually trying to seine. Some of those minnows are going to get out or escape. You're not going to capture them all. So if you spray yourself completely down or spray your outer clothing with scent killer and you saturate every square inch of that clothing and then let it dry, that active ingredient, even if you haven't been able to take a shower, which obviously would be a desirable thing, but if you couldn't, as the odor molecules are escaping your body and going through that cloth or that camel or your blaze orange, the active ingredient is actually latching onto those forming odor molecules before they can form a gas. And without a gas, there is no odor. So in other words, you can do a lot of things by pre-treating your camo, also obviously having more than one set of camo or blaze orange ready to go is another thing that you can do in order to try and beat that the nose of a deer.
All right. Are there some other things that we should think about in terms of scent elimination?
Well, you know, you know, it's like when Jeff was saying, as far as, you know, just spraying down once you get out of your truck.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, that's not such a bad thing, because the truth of the matter is that that's all the time that you've got. In the perfect scenario, yeah, you'd be able to go through all the stuff that I talked about, but sometimes people are getting off of work, they want to get out to their stand, you know, just spraying down some scent killer, spray your boots down before you go. There's no question that it's going to eliminate a bunch of odor molecules. Again, the least amount of odor molecules that you can carry with you is a good thing. So if you've only got time to spray down with scent killer, by all means, it's going to be a benefit to you. It's definitely going to help you, and I strongly recommend taking advantage, worst case scenario, just scent killer spray.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's I think there's just different products out there all over the place, but I hear that your breath is also one of the major scent areas that you should, you know, possibly take care of. Is there something out there for that, or is that maybe not as big of a deal as some make it seem?
Well, I think it's a big deal. You know, when there's an animal downwind to me, if I know for a fact that there's an animal that I'm not really interested in is going to go past me, I try to breathe through my nose rather than through my mouth. I try and mask my my breath as much as possible. A nice thing to do, or a good thing, is obviously don't eat strong foods, garlic, that type of thing, the night before the hunt, or onions. You know, we recommend, you know, even chewing some spearmint gum should you need to. There's other gums on the market that supposedly work for that. But seriously, you know, it's when you know, I think it's the smell of the human being, the major league predator that truly is the thing that they're trying to defend themselves against. Yeah, breath is definitely not a good thing, but, you know, like I say, I just breathe through my nose when an animal's downwind to me, and after they're gone through the area, then I just start breathing normally again. And, yeah, you know, do what you can not to eat, you know, like I say, garlic, onions, that type of thing. Have chili the night before, so on. Have more bland foods before you go out on your hunt. I think that's going to help quite a bit as well.
All right. So the four-alarm deer camp chili is out.
I was just thinking the same thing.
yeah. I think it is. You know, if you really want to take it to the next level, I think it probably is.
But, yeah.
You know, whatever. The whole thing is about having a good time out there. Enjoy yourself. And, you know, if you want to take some time to, you know, another good point, too, though, to thinking about, Dan, is when you're, you know, a lot of these deer camps, for example, you've only got maybe you've got your stand location and your buddy's got his stand location and the other buddy's got their stand location. And day after day, you go out to that same stand location, you know. You're really trying to eliminate as much of that human scent that's leaving your body, that's collecting all over the foliage or around your deer stand, because it's really going to alert those deer that are coming through after you're long gone from that stand location. So you try to keep your stand as pristine as possible. So sometimes scent elimination can be more important for the hunt to follow than the one that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
You want to maintain that to be as pristine as possible. You're going to be more successful by leaving as little human scent behind as possible.
Okay. Well, Ron, thanks for those tips, and we're going to let you go because I know you want to do some bow hunting, and will you talk to us again next week?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, and I'll give you a report as to whether I've had any success yet or not.
All right. Sounds good. That was Ron Bice of Wildlife Research Center, and this report was brought to you by Wildlife Research Center on the web at wildlife.com.
Did you see the turdy pointer?
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 As we jumped into the truck, then I'm going to get that.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
No Child Left Inside is brought to you by Balestrieri Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards. And this segment is also brought to you by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org. And Jeff, now for our No Child Left Inside this week, we've got a really special guest. Now, you've heard of Tom Brown, the tracker, right?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
And John Young, who's joining us here, studied with Tom Brown, and actually you worked with him for a few years, did you not, John?
That's correct. I actually, before Tom Brown wrote his first book, I was mentored by him as a child,
mm-hmm.
and when he opened his school in 1978, I was among the first instructors, which was a big surprise to me.
Uh-huh, okay. And now, I met John at the OWAA, that's the Outdoor Writers Association of America conference in Bismarck back in June,
okay.
where he was our keynote speaker, and he's got a new book. And actually, before we talk about the book, John, you have founded something called the Wilderness Awareness School. And
yep.
And I understand that has spawned over 100 wilderness and tracking schools throughout North America and Europe.
That's correct. Yep, in German and English-speaking countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how has that taken off?
Well, I think what happened was that Tom Brown's books got over to Germany,
mm-hmm.
and a number of German folks came over to his courses, discovered our work also when they were at stateside, signed up for our naturalist training program through Wilderness Awareness School, and then came to programs that I ran called Art of Mentoring, where we encourage people to use the techniques and things that are offered in Coyote's Guide to work with young people in their region.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people took us up on that. 1997, we had an initiative where we were really, you know, pushing people, hey, give it a shot, see what works, and let us know. And we chose 50 people on the East Coast and West Coast of America to pilot a program. And it jump-started over 115 schools worldwide. And they're doing very well, reaching tens of thousands of kids now.
Okay. And, of course, what you're doing is getting kids into the outdoors, connecting with nature, as is indicated in the title of your new book, Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature.
Yep, that's correct. We're really aware that when, you know, I'm 48 years old now, and when I was a kid, I think a lot of listeners will remember, if you're, you know, from that era or earlier, before TV really got, you know, 100 channels, you know, mm-hmm. when it was just three channels, mm-hmm. kids didn't need to be told how to be outside. In fact, usually it was the opposite. Parents had to come out and find us and drag us back
exactly,
in.
Exactly, yeah.
And that has really changed. I think Richard Louv points out, Richard Louv did the foreword for our book. He wrote the book...
Last Child in the Woods.
Last Child in the Woods, yeah. Right, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. He points out that there's a couple of generations of loss of how to be outside, which I think a lot of listeners might be surprised by. But there's just a lot of adults who really don't know how to get their kids jump-started outside again, and kids don't know how to be jump-started outside again. And that's what Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature is really trying to offer. You know, here's some tools that we know work. We've been doing this for 25 years. These are tried and true recipes and principles to work with kids.
Yeah, John, I mean, at first glance, when you first kind of page through the book, it looks like a field guide, but it's really more of a, they're in-depth activities to do with kids and with their mentors to really get them to understand nature and not just get outside.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Bushmen of the Kalahari have this little saying, you know, they talk about when you see a little bird for the first time and you recognize it, a little thread will form between you and that bird. And if you see that same bird tomorrow, the thread will get a little thicker. And as you develop your understanding of that bird's behaviors and different, you know, situations, the thread gets to a string to eventually become a rope. And I really like that image because it's really emphasizing the need for routine relationship and facilitation of that relationship in order for it to grow stronger and stronger over time. And that's really the approach we're taking with Coyote's Guide. It's not only about informational storage. You know, a lot of people think that nature connection equates to having facts in your head about trees and birds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of outdoor ed places are trying to do right now. You know, that's how they're trying to jumpstart this get kids outside thing. Bring kids outside and give them a bunch of science. And whereas what's Coyote's Guide is focusing on is, okay, we know the science is important, but I think they're getting plenty of that right now in school. Let's go back for the basic connection. Let's build relationships and make nature fun and realize, you know, what's to be gained from us being outdoors and connecting with the land and the animals and the trees and the birds, and, you know, go back to what was really fun for us as kids, you know. And, you know, we suggest things, fishing. It's the whole outdoor field is carried in the book, but we're mostly focusing on the one-on-one relationship between child and nature, or adult and nature for that matter. That's why it says kids of all ages.
Okay.
We really want to say this works for 99-year-olds as well, because
right.
It does.
Right. So where does Coyote come in?
Well, Coyote, you know, from the I was mentored in two traditions. I spent seven very high-quality years with Tom Brown as a kid, and he mentored me very much the same way that he was mentored as a young man by his elder. In that tradition, Coyote represents a kind of a role model of being able to make it in any environment, because Tom's elder would explain that in the highest country in the mountains, you find coyote's tracks. Along the river, in the lowlands, you find coyote's tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You find coyote in the forest, in the desert, in the field, in the swamp. Coyote is everywhere. So it looked at as an animal that could make it in any environment by its ingenuity, its knowledge, its connection to place. The other tradition that I was trained in for about 10 years was with another native elder directly, and what he explained to me was that coyote was seen as the animal who lives on the edge of the village and who, in a certain respect, represents the awareness of people. So coyote is always just on the edge of our perception, just on the edge of our awareness. And a coyote mentor, as featured in Coyote's Guide, is somebody who's looking at the awareness of a child or an adult that they're working with and trying to expand it outward. So you kind of imagine yourself as coyote looking into the village and seeing the edge of a person's awareness and drawing it towards you, you know, stretching a person, in other words, into their awareness of place.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those images are from, you know, native traditional society. The other elements of coyote, of course, are, you know, as we acknowledge in the front of the book, that, you know, coyote is not always looked at as the good guy.
Right,
You know, the rancher, the farmer doesn't always think coyote is the greatest guy to have around. We acknowledge that. You know, coyote has a mixed bag of a reputation, and sometimes is looked at as the trickster. And in old mythology worldwide, the trickster represents the one that helps people make a transformation. You know, sometimes a person needs to be tricked out of their old patterns in order to grow into that new version of themselves. So all these are metaphors for essentially growing people by curiosity and growing them into their edges, and that's what the whole book is dedicated to.
Yeah. Now, Coyote, of course, the trickster. He's also a survivor, as you suggested, and he's very resourceful.
Yeah.
Now, let's get into some of the detail of the book, and get beyond this theory that for some people might be just a little bit too esoteric here. You talk about an adrenaline secret.
Yep.
And you have some other techniques. What is that all about?
Well, we've long figured out, as most good grandmas have figured out and uncles that take kids outside, certain things make kids really, really excited. And if you can build the excitement first, it's easy to get kids to do things. So build the enthusiasm, build the excitement. So, for instance, let's say take 10 animals that live in a stream, and all 10 are not created equal.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell a kid about a helgramite larva or a mayfly larva or a crayfish or a frog and watch what they do with their eyebrows, and you're going to notice that the crayfish gets the eyebrows to raise the highest. You know? Why is that? I don't know. Kids sort of seem to be born with this innate curiosity and excitement about seeing a crayfish or catching a crayfish. So if I told the kids, let's go down to the creek and do a ecological study of helgramite larva, I'm going to get a yawn.
Mm-hmm.
If I say to the kids, let's go catch crayfish, their eyes get huge.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, okay, you know, and they're like, let's go. And they're already running and they're pulling at you, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a certain amount of adrenaline connected to that for these kids. You know, there's certain things in nature trigger that response. Other things don't. So a good nature mentor figures those things out early and plays with those. So all lizards are not created equal. All kids like to catch lizards or look at them at least. But if you say alligator lizard in California, the kids go, oh, alligator lizard,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and what's an alligator lizard? Next to a fence lizard, I mean, they're both amazing little creatures. But the alligator lizard, for some reason, has a higher rating on the kids' adrenaline scale. So we look for the things that fire up kids naturally, and we work with those as a capital. You know, build the energy around that, and then draw them into the helgramite lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one will naturally lead into the other.
Sure. Okay.
So that's the adrenaline secret. You know, get them excited, get them jumping up and down in their shoes, and get them all, you know, adrenalated before you start going off on an adventure to learn.
Well, we're excited.
Yeah, it's a lot of great information inside the book, and you know, I'd like to get a chance to sit down and read through the whole thing and really experience what's in the book.
I'm going to loan it to you.
All right.
Now, this is for mentors, teachers, parents, I suppose anyone who works with kids.
Yeah, that's correct, and grandparents. And, you know, I believe it or not, there's people in the business world who are using this for coaching business. You know, these methods work anywhere people gather for a purpose, where learning is at the center. So, you know, I have great stories from music teachers, from athletic coaches, from hunters, from fishermen. I mean, it's across the board. People are finding this stuff is working for them. So, you know, it is a little technical. I mean, it's a real cookbook. I mean, it's full of things that people have tested and tried. But you're going to notice that we didn't make it so that you can't improvise. Our hope is that you're going to improvise, that you're going to use this stuff, test it out, and then make it your own, because it's ultimately, like we underline again and again, it's really your creativity in the moment that's going to make it really sing. So, you know, have fun with it more than anything.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a great tool, John, and people can get it right now at coyotesguide.com, and that's the only place they can get it right now, correct?
That's correct. I think after the first of the year, we'll start seeing it in the larger chains, but that's where it is right now. But, you know, we're excited about the feedback we're getting from the people who have purchased and have been feeding back to us already, in a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and we'd love your feedback too.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk with us, and keep up the great work.
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
You bet. That was John Young, author of Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature, and No Child Left Inside this week was brought to you by Balistrary Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. And send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on the lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Boost the odds of bagging your buck by using Special Golden Estrus from Wildlife Research Center.
Special Golden Estrus is so fresh and so effective, it's 100% money-back guaranteed.
That's right, Jeff, and Special Golden Estrus is so fresh that 2008 is printed right on the package.
Special Golden Estrus, the smell your buck has been waiting for.
Give your trophy buck the smell he's been waiting for. Special Golden Estrus. Find a retailer near you on the web at wildlife.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus sporting clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clay system on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. Winter Sporting Clays League starts January 11th. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season started October 1st for pheasants, chuckers, and Hungarian partridge, with bird specials available. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure, and you don't need to be a member to hunt or enjoy the bird specials. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows.
Well, Jeff, you know, we've talked a lot about deer, but people are starting to look forward to ice fishing season. I know you
They're
are.
Just starting now. July was when you were supposed to start for that, right?
Yeah, well, you talk to people like you or Jim O'Brien, and that's what they say.
It's not a passion. It's an obsession.
Uh-huh.
It's really what it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jim, I know we've got you on the line. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. And Jeff, how are you guys doing?
Very good.
We're doing well. And, Jim, I should say that this first ice fishing report of the year is brought to you by Jiffy Ice Drills, makers of the STX Pro Ice Drill, available at retailers everywhere, and for information on the web at jiffyonice.com. Now, are you two guys just totally cooked out here, or is this the time we should start thinking about ice fishing?
Oh, definitely, because, you know, the biggest thing that happens to, I think, many people is they wait till the ice gets here, and then they start thinking, well, I want to go ice fishing. But, you know, when the stores stock up, it's always supply and demand, and I always like to get my first crack at getting stuff, because otherwise, when the ice gets here, the shelves start clearing off, and you can't get the hot items that you want to get. So
mm-hmm.
Definitely now is the best time. As a guide, what I'd like to do, too, is share with your listeners is, you know, a lot of things that I do to get ready for the season, and it'll help to get them organized and, you know, get things ready to get out there on the ice and have a great time. But before you even think about getting on the ice, it's a perfect time right now is to get out in the boat still and to check areas on the lake, you know, using your electronics to find whatever weed growth is still green and healthy. and marking that, because that's going to be the areas that are going to hold a lot of these panfish for that first ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dan, just the other day I was out on a Waukesha County lake, and I was searching around, and on my electronics, this blob comes up, and, you know, I thought, you know, I'm going to mark it, and I dropped the AquaView down there, and I start looking around, and it was just a beautiful patch of green, healthy weeds, and as I'm dragging the camera through there, it's bouncing off of crappies and nice bluegills.
So, of course, you had to fish, too, right?
I did have to fish it, but first thing I did was I threw the marker out, okay, so I could save that spot. Then I went over it with the GPS, you know, and locked it in, and I fished it, but, you know, I'm so excited now because when first ice comes, you know, drilling that hole and pulling up them fish with that little ice rod is way better than catching them on a pole with a slip bobber, so, but that's what the anglers should do, is if they can find areas like that now, it's so much easier by boat, because once the water gets hard, you know, you're going to be dragging equipment around and drilling holes and looking for different areas where it's a perfect time to do that right now to get it out of the way before you put the boat away. So that's one of the main things I'd recommend to the listeners to do first.
Okay. Now, I understand you're doing some mapping for Lake Master as you're scouting for your ice fishing, right?
Yes, I am, because there'll be a new chip coming out for the state of Wisconsin, and we're going to add two additional lakes here in Waukesha County. That'll be Pine Lake and Oconomowoc Lake.
Uh-huh.
And what that does is it'll help you, even ice fishing, you can put that into your handheld, and you're going to be able to pinpoint, okay, I want to get on this rock structure, or I want to get on this sunken island. That's going to help you get to that area so that when you drill a hole, you're right where you want to be.
So you're going to give away your secrets, are you?
Yeah, that's the hard thing about mapping is that, you know, as I'm, you know, doing what I have to do for this, I will go across some of my hotspot areas that I like as a guide, and it's really tough. But, you know, the main thing is that, you know, to give this information out that anglers can get out there and find fish, find the structure, you know, we're not putting the fish in their boat. You know, they're still going to have to use their tactics and to catch these fish. Anytime, what I've learned over the years, when fish get pressured in an area, they basically just move to the next area, you know, and we have to find them there. It's, you know, very seldom that they're going to stay in one spot forever, but that's the fun of fishing in my book is, you know, finding and locating, you know, and then using what tactic you can to win the battle and catching them.
Yep. Well, speaking of new, Jim, does Jiffy have some new products?
Yeah, with Jiffy, with the augers, the 2-horsepower STX Pro is the gas-powered, and it's got that high-torque transmission. They came out with that just a year before last year, and that transmission has really improved the biting ability, and the when you're drilling, you don't even have to push down on this thing. When those blades dig in, those stealth blades dig in, that transmission just kicks in and it pulls that auger right through the ice. So it's a nice, strong, they've got the comfortable rubber grips on it. The throttle is larger, so when you've got gloves on it, you'll be able to adjust that. The other one that I really like is the STX, the STX Electric, which is an electric unit. And they improve that by making it an STX Pro, which means it's got, you know, those great cutting blades on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And also they stuck that heavy-duty transmission on the electric unit.
Huh.
Now, this electric unit, you know, it comes with an 8-foot extension cord and battery clip, so you can adapt it to a four-wheeler or to your vehicle. But what's nice, Dan, is that you can just plug this thing and drill. You don't worry about, you know, if I have gas or gas oil mixture, or I'm not even pulling a recoil, I'm just hitting the button and I'm drilling ice. So, you know, for many people, that might be a great option too, to use the electric unit.
So you can just plug it into a power outlet on your ATV or your automobile.
Right. It comes with an 8-foot extension, and then I think in their accessories they have another 10-foot extension that you can add to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times with the four-wheelers, you've got that on there, you can just take that thing and hook it in there and, you know, and just start, you know, drilling holes. That comes in a 6-inch or an 8-inch.
Mm-hmm.
And both of the STX Pros, they come with a new blade protector now, which is it's a plastic clamshell that you just take the bottom of the drill and just push it right down in, and it locks in real nice. So no longer do we have to pull that rubber strap across it, and you know, if the rubber strap breaks and so forth, or you lose the rubber strap, it's the easy snap blade protector. You just push it down and it locks in.
Uh-huh.
And one other item that I was really happy when I got to test it before they put it in production is where your auger bit attaches to the power head. In the past, we had to use an Allen screw and an Allen wrench,
right,
and take that out. And, you know, you tried to keep the Allen wrench around all the time, but then you would lose it. And what they came up with is it's just an easy connect, they call it. It's a plastic coupling that you can just grab. It's soft molded plastic, and you just slide it down, and then you can pull a pin out.
Oh, okay.
And that way you can disassemble it to put it in your vehicle or in your sled.
Say, Jim, we're just about out of time for this portion of the show, but do you have a seminar coming up where you'll be teaching people these tips?
Yes, I do. On December 6th at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Sportsman's Warehouse store in New Berlin, I'll be putting on an ice fishing seminar, which will cover my jigging techniques that we use for panfish, locating techniques, and then I'll have an additional seminar on tip-ups for walleye and northern. So it's a real good in-detail. A lot of people say, Jim, why do you give away so many of your trade secrets? And I just tell them because I want people to go out there and catch fish. So,
absolutely.
It's a free seminar. People are more than welcome to come and sit down, spend some time with me, and I'll share my ice fishing tips with them.
All right. Well, Jim, thanks a lot. We'll catch up with you once we get closer to ice fishing.
That sounds good, Dan.
This ice fishing report is brought to you by Jiffy Ice Drills, makers of the STX Pro Ice Drill, on the web at jiffyonice.com. And that was Jim O'Brien of Dancing with Walleye's Guide Service, and he's a Jiffy Pro staffer. And his website is dancingwithwalleyes.com. Thanks a lot, Jim.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Boost the odds of bagging your buck by using Special Golden Estrus from Wildlife Research Center.
Special Golden Estrus is so fresh and so effective, it's 100% money-back guaranteed.
That's right, Jeff, and Special Golden Estrus is so fresh that 2008 is printed right on the package.
Special Golden Estrus, the smell your buck has been waiting for.
Give your trophy buck the smell he's been waiting for. Special Golden Estrus. Find a retailer near you on the web at wildlife.com.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Tuesday through Sunday for upland bird hunting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Check them out on the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's milfordhills.com or 920-699-2249.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, or check them out online at mwshooters.com. Get ready for gun deer season with one-stop shopping at Midwestern Shooters Supply. Save 20% now on all Blaze Orange clothing, including outer garments, gloves, and hats. And save 20% on all boots and camouflage clothing in stock. And if you still need a new gun for deer season, save 5% on all guns and optics through November 15th. Midwestern also offers great prices on ammo and all the accessories you need for deer hunting. The helpful staff at Midwestern Shooters Supply wish you and your hunting partners a safe and successful gun deer season. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com. That's 920-269-4995 or mwshooters.com.
Well, Jeff, I think it's time to look up north for another fishing report.
It's not ice fishing season yet up there, is it?
Well, no, but that's coming sooner
than
you think.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
We're going to go up to Ashland, and this report is brought to you by Ashland County Tourism on the web at visitashland.com. And by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. And we have Zach Jurwitz of Anglers All on the line today. And Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, that's good. And Zach, we're talking to you because Roger LePenter, we understand, had a little surgery just recently.
He did. He had a bypass on Wednesday, but he's doing well and recovering well. So.
Okay. Well, we wish him well, and both him and Carolyn well, and we look forward to talking to him again soon. So you tell him to get well quick so we can get him back on the water and back on the radio.
I'll do that.
All right. So how has the fishing been?
It's been pretty good overall. The smallmouth fishing has been really good. Water temps have been pretty high, so they're really pretty active. People have caught them on flies and on jigging spoons, but your best bet's still probably a big old northern sucker drifted on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Trout and salmon has been a little slow and spotty, probably because the water temps are still pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And the walleye has been all right. It's been really pretty spotty, though. People are catching some fish here and there. But
okay.
A lot of people have started thinking about deer hunting, so they're out and about chasing deer now.
Yep, everybody's doing that now.
Have any big deer been seen, or have you seen any big ones come in by you?
We've registered probably about, I'd say, three good-sized antlered deer.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a bunch of small bucks and quite a few medium-sized bucks coming through. People have been saying they haven't been seeing that many. I know in my experience they've been moving a lot at night, but they're starting to move some more now. We've started registering more deer and especially more bucks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As the rut starts, I would imagine that would happen, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we just learned this week that that big Buffalo County buck, or they think it's the one that was caught on video, was taken, and we learned of some other bucks as well that have met their demise because they were chasing does and not paying attention.
Yep, that's 'tis the season.
Well, okay. If people want to get information, you do answer calls and you do give people information over the phone, don't you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay. And that phone number, folks, is 715-682-5754. And Anglers All also has a website, and that's anglersallwisconsin.com. Okay, well, Zach, thanks a lot.
All right.
And we'll be in touch.
All right, talk to you later.
You bet. That was Zach Jurowitz of Anglers All in Ashland, and this report was brought to you by Ashland County Tourism on the web at visitashland.com, and also by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend.
So, Dan, we were talking with Zach about deer hunting, and I'm amped up about it. I know you are as well, and there's a special on Outdoor Wisconsin coming up.
That's right, Jeff. Thursday, the 13th of November, is going to be our hour-long special. We call it Deer Hunt 2008. We do this every year, and I do it with Keith Warnke, who is the DNR big game specialist. And we're going to focus on the upcoming gun deer season. It'll be statewide on public TV stations at 8 o'clock Thursday night. The 13th, and we'll look at deer numbers statewide, some safe field dressing and butchering techniques considering CWD, and the lead deposits in, the lead fragments in venison. We're going to follow some young hunters on a youth hunt, and we'll take a hard look at baiting and feeding restrictions. There's going to be a push to try to eliminate baiting and feeding in Wisconsin.
Okay.
We're going to hear some more about that from the DNR Secretary Matt Frank, who will be on the show, and we'll get an update on Wisconsin's elk herd. So it's an hour any deer hunter will not want to miss.
All right. Well, there's some rifle sight-ins to get ready for deer hunting coming up. Racine County Line Rifle Club in Caledonia has got theirs. Also, Fin and Feather Sportsman's Club in Palmyra. Menominee Falls Rod and Gun Club in Sussex. Wisconsin Sportsman's Association in Union Grove. Daniel Boone Conservation League in Hubertus, West Bend, Barton Sportsman's Club on Highway 45 and Friendly Drive in West Bend, Stoughton Conservation Club in Stoughton, and Ozaukee Fishing Game Association in Wabaca, all coming up for rifle sightings. Make sure you get it sighted in or you're going to be sorry.
Well, we're about out of time again, folks. You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. And by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm. Join us again next week.
On the gunnel, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure. When the worms go dry, in the coffee can, honey, I'll be